Amen, amen. Your true identity in Christ is the title of the message today. And we're on a series of resurrection life. And so we're going to pray, bless the word. And all the word is blessed. But we're going to bless us to receive it. Amen. The word's always anointed. It's always blessed. It's always quick. It's powerful. And so, Lord, we surrender to you and let your word do its work in our hearts today. And we thank you, Father, for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Okay, next PowerPoint, please. Next slide. You will be able to hear this message again online if you go to our website at www.godsriver.com. It will be posted there later today. And the PowerPoint notes will be with it. I always have way too much material, and we may not get all the way through it, but you can study it, right? The Holy Spirit's your teacher. Someone say amen. Amen, amen. So let's go to John 1, 12 through 13. And let's read this passage together. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So our identity is in Jesus Christ. We've been born again by the Spirit of God because that's the way God wanted it. It didn't matter what people were saying about you. It didn't matter what people thought of you. God says, I'm going to adopt you and bring you into my family, and you will be born again. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, 24. And the scripture says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. God will preserve our body, soul, and spirit blameless. We have been on a series of learning our identity in Christ and just what it means to be in Christ. I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me. And it's such a mystery, and it's so big, and we've barely scratched the surface. But to understand that whole revelation, we need to understand the body, soul, and the spirit. The real me is my born-again spirit. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. And so my soul consists of my mind, my will, my emotions, and my conscience. I would add conscience in with that. And we live in this body of flesh that came from the earth. But the main part is the spirit. We have a spirit. And as we go a little bit further, we will delve into that a little bit more. But God created us in his image. In Genesis 1:27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And so we aren't created in the image of God, and God is a spirit. And we must worship him in spirit and in truth. So the who we really are is identified by God by our spirit. He looks at our spiritual man. Men look at outward appearance, but God looks on your heart. So ever since Adam made the choice in the Garden of Eden to disobey God, he and all his descendants have identified with sin. Adam and Eve made this declaration of independence from God, and it caused a rebellious nature to be passed on to every person. That was what we inherited. Because we are born into the family of Adam, We all possess this natural bent to live a self-centered life. Yet, lovingly, our Heavenly Father persistently seeks to penetrate our hearts with His offer of adoption. He desires for us to become a member of His family and receive a new holy inheritance, the same divine nature of His Son. It now becomes your choice. Tell your neighbor, it's up to you. Because as a child of God, your old sin nature is exchanged for a glorious new identity in Christ. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Now, the definition for the word identity in the Latin is idem, and it means the same, the distinguishing inner character and outer conduct forming a person's image. Proverbs 27:19 says, "As in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man." You don't have to look too far to find out what kind of a person, what kind of inner character a person has. But be around them for a little bit, and what's in their heart is going to be reflected. So it's the distinguishing inner character and outer conduct forming a person's image. Our bishop, Bishop Hammond, says God is much more interested in working on your character and making the man than He is in the ministry. Hallelujah. So it's our inner and outer identities. It's the visible you. It's how you are known by others. Your personality. It's your pretenses, your actions, you know, the masks that you wear. Proverbs 20:11 says, "Even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right." You know, by how somebody acts. So the real you is how you're known by God. And that's your basic nature, your character, your value system. God sees it all. Amen? God knows it all, and He still loves us. Isn't that amazing? He still loves us in the midst of everything. Proverbs 21:2 says, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts." We often have discussions on Wednesday night in Bible study, and I'll always challenge ideas, thoughts, opinions, beliefs. Can you take that back to the Word of God? Can that be supported by the Word of God? Because we can often imagine, think things that really comfort our hearts, our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions. We need some comfort, so we just might imagine something to be contrary to God's will. And I'm not going to go into any details right now, but you're probably thinking of times that you have heard someone share something that you know that really comforted their soul, but there is no way that lines up with the Word of God. Can anybody witness to me? All right, I'm not going to give away any examples here. They might be listening. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 14-15 says this. We're going to really look at verse 17, but y'all know how I am. We have to go back and look at the context of the chapter to really get an understanding of what God is saying. So 14 and 15 says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." Jesus Christ died for all the sins of the world. He gave his life for everyone. He didn't pick and choose. He died for all of us, and we are actually crucified with him. We died with him when we receive him as Lord and Savior. When we declare his death, his burial and his resurrection. So to, let's go on, 2 Corinthians 5:16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no more. So to know Christ according to the flesh is to evaluate him from a human point of view. But Hebrews 5:7 tells us that he has ascended to heaven and he's now glorified at the Father's right hand. So, you know, so many artistic betrayals of Jesus and depictions of Jesus Christ show him as a baby, or it shows him as hanging on the cross. But Paul is saying we no longer know him by the flesh, but we know him by the Spirit. He is high and he is lifted up and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. He has a glorified body. We no longer know him after the flesh, but we worship him in spirit and in truth. Somebody say amen. Amen. So when the scripture talks about the flesh, in many areas, it's not talking about your skin. It can be, but the term the scriptures uses for body and soul, that part of you, it is contrasted to your spirit. It's called the flesh. If you knew people after the spirit, you would probably relate to them differently. We can be really impressed by a person's flesh. And it's easily identified people who are impressed with themselves after the flesh. When they talk so much about themselves, are they always name dropping? Have you ever had a conversation with someone who is constantly name dropping? Because they're naming people and they want to, we used to call it rub elbows with them. I don't know if that's what they still call it, but rubbing elbows with the famous. So you can talk about your experience there. I don't know about you, but that doesn't impress me at all. I've had conversations with people and they'll give a name of somebody famous or this person or that person. Do you know who I'm talking about? And I'll say, no, I don't. Because that is not that important to me. Now, if it's important to you, then pray about it. Because what is important to us is to know one another after the Spirit. What should be important to us is to know the Word of God, because the Word of God is spirit and it's life. And that is what we need to transform our minds. So we don't regard each other after the flesh anymore. And you know what? That includes yourself. The person that you used to be when you came to Jesus Christ, that person was crucified with Christ. That person died. That's how you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. And we need to look at ourselves through the eyes of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's read it together. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And when I read this passage, I see three different things. I see that we have a new position. We have a new position in Christ. Second, we're a new person. We're a new creation. And third, we have a new perspective. Behold, all things become new. So let's talk about this position. Our position is in Christ, and we are positioned in him to fulfill our destiny and our purpose through Jesus Christ. When you are positioned in Christ, you're in a place to do good works. It's the good works that God already prepared for you in advance in Ephesians 2:10. He's already got them all lined up with you. It's just a matter of positioning ourselves. And at the River of Life, we talk about saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'll do it, Lord. Now, we've had a couple of challenging years. And part of the reason is COVID. But could it be because there is such a pressure over our identity? A battle over identity in every area of our culture. There's a pressure on Christians and a pressure on the identity of America. And it's because your identity is in your seed of destiny. Your identity is in your seed of destiny. And the identity of this nation has been the reason we have been a great nation. But the Antichrist spirit is putting pressure on our identity to try to reset our destiny. We've got to see with spiritual eyes what is really going on. And we see that men and women and children's identities are under attack in America. Can somebody say amen? I copied an article from the Washington paper. And some of you may have seen this because it was a witness that spoke to Congress. And I just want to read it to you. This is how the devil is attacking our identity. A pro-abortion witness speaking in front of the House Judiciary Committee Wednesday told members of Congress that she believes men can get pregnant. "What do you say a woman is?" was a question from one of the representatives. And her name was Amy Arambide. And she's the executive director of pro-abortion nonprofit Avow Texas. And this was her answer. "What do you say a woman is?" And she said, "I believe that everyone can identify for themselves." And then the next question was, "Do you believe that men can become pregnant and have abortions?" And Amy responded, "Yes." So the notion, I'm going to read on through it, the notion that men can give birth is rooted in trans activism, which pushes the idea that gender is determined by what a person feels. And anything less than strict adherence to their wishes is often considered transphobic. Therefore, according to Arambide, Amy, a pregnant trans man is still a man. So, replacing words like woman and girls with terms like bleeders and pregnant people risks dehumanizing women and harms decades of work to improve the visibility of women in societies, one social media user responded. And that was the end of the article. There is a spirit of identity thief that has been released in this nation. For someone to be so confused and just outright bold about it. And if you disagree, then you are in serious trouble with them. There are identity thieves, and their main goal is to cause distractions so that you do not believe your position in Jesus Christ. Their main goal is to rob our children of their innocence and mind program them to believe their propaganda. God created us, we read at the beginning of this message, God created us male and female. Amen? Amen. Amen. So this last fall, Bishop received a strong word from the Lord, and Apostle Leon shared with us that he was with Bishop when he received that word. And it was with great fear and trepidation that he released it over the church in the October conference. And I want to go to that. I handed it out to several people, and we prayed over this word in our prayer, corporate prayer meeting. But I just wanted to share a little bit from that word, because I think it is so important that we understand God's times. Bishop said, as we read the prophecies spoken, yet in that same chapter, he speaks of healing and restoration. He's talking about the restoration of the church and the charismatic movement. And let me go on just a little bit further. He said, while seeking God for the message, he wanted me to minister at the 34th Annual International Gathering of Apostles and Prophets. God spoke something strictly from his heart and mind to me. He said, tell every one of my children that I will be visiting them sometime during the next 6 months. And that was in October, from the end of October through the end of April, which we just finished up. The purpose will be to settle accounts with every believer as the master did with every servant as described in Matthew 25, 14 through 30. The master gave 5 talents, which is 5,000 gold coins. He gave the amount that he knew that servant could manage. He gave another servant 2 talents, 2,000 gold coins, according to his ability to manage what he had been given. And the third servant, he gave 1 talent, 1,000 gold coins, based on the master's knowledge of the ability of the servant to manage what had been given. The money was not a bonus for their personal use, but a commitment for them to carry on the business of the master while he was gone. And so the 5-talented servant was faithful. He was a faithful steward in using what he had received and had doubled what was put in his account. The servant given 2 talents showed the account balance to the master, and he had made an increase of 2,000 coins to 4,000. The master said the same of both servants. Well done, and good and faithful servants. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. Now I will give you many more responsibilities. Begin the joyous task I have assigned to you. The master said about the same to 2 talented servants. You have been faithful over this same amount, so now I will give you much more. But the third servant, who had received 1,000 gold coins, came before the master for settling his account. And he told the master that he was afraid to do business with the money, so he dug a hole and he hid it in the ground. I was afraid of how you would respond if I did not make a profit, so here is the money, exactly what you gave me. And the master was very disappointed and disgusted with the servant's attitude about him and his lack of not using what he was given. He called him, you unprofitable servant. And Bishop, he likes to add a lot of words, lazy, fearful, wicked, useless, and unfaithful servant. The settling accounts with this servant of the master were not pleasant or positive. Here is what the master said to the servant, who neglected to use what the master had entrusted to him. Take the money from this man and give it to the man with 10,000. For the man who uses well what he's given shall be given more, and he shall have abundance. But from the unfaithful man, even what little responsibility he has shall be taken from him, and throw the useless servant out into outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then he goes on with this word. During the 6 months from the end of October to the end of April 2022, God is going to examine each child of God to see what we have done with that which God has invested within us. This is especially true of those whom God is considering using mightily in these last days. Some Christians think that they are in good standing with God as long as they are not doing anything wrong. That is not committing any sins of commission. But children of God can get in bad standing with God by committing any sins of omission. That is failing to do what you are supposed to do and being neglectful to use what God has invested in you or fulfilling God's calling for you. King Saul lost his kingly succession and received demonic oppression because he did not do everything prophesied to him by the prophet Samuel. And so we see the importance of the times that we're in. And he said there's a great transition in April of 2022. He said there will be many things happening in the spring of 2022, especially around April. Angels will be busy carrying out God's new decrees concerning individuals and nations. It will activate the alignment of nations for God's end-time prophetic fulfillment. There will begin to be confusion and contention in the nations. The leaders of the world will be wondering who is about to do what. It will look like things will be going in one direction and suddenly they will start going the other way. There will be discussions of World War III as Russia, China, and other nations start saying and doing things that have the potential of starting a world war. This is the third and final reformation that was activated in the church in 2008. And the army of the Lord has risen up to push back the powers of darkness. So why am I saying all of this? It's because you have to know your identity in Jesus Christ. We can't be quiet about what is going on around us. And often we'll just push it to the side and not say anything if a friend says something. You know, we need to be the light of the world, and the way we are the light of the world is to release the light of the word. We are the only people who know, not me individually, but the body of Christ, the ecclesia, is the only group that can push back the powers of darkness and take authority over the principalities and powers that are ruling. And if we sit back and do nothing, then our nation will continue to go in the direction that it is. You can get involved with the intercessors of, there's several different intercessory prayer groups. Just check with me later. It's slipping me. It's the IFA. They have really good articles of things that are going on. Right now, Our nation is under a threat of giving up its sovereignty. You see, the devil wants to reset the world. The Antichrist spirit is moving before his time. He's trying to change the times and the seasons that God has ordained for the church. We are looking for a revival. We are looking for the Spirit of the Lord to flow across this nation, to bring men and women to God. He is our only hope. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We will only have life through Him. It's not worth working in the flesh to try and find your identity. You know, whatever God has put in you, be faithful with it, and God will promote you. God will promote you. God will bring to you what you need when we put Him first. But so many times we put God on the back burner, we put the church on the back burner, we put the family of God on the back burner, and we don't join in with what God wants us to do as a group. Because when we come together to pray, we're a mighty force. We're a mighty force. Because God has given us the authority over principalities and powers. When we were sent into this territory, God sent us into this territory, downtown Elkhart, and it was full of witchcraft and the occult and so many closed buildings, and what the businesses that were running were from the darkness, the kingdom of darkness. And God sent us in there to take back what the enemy stole. And I'm encouraging you today, I'm kind of way off on what I really plan to teach, but I know this is God's heart for us to understand that we are the ruling force in the earth today. Will evil continue? Yes, it will. But it's going to be worse if we don't do anything, church. We rise up as the army of the Lord. to push back the powers of darkness. And as I was thinking about our identity, I thought about how Jacob wrestled with the angel. And he wrestled with the angel, and he was not going to let go. And that's in Genesis 3, 29 through 30. The scripture says, let me read it. It's on the PowerPoint. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. So Jacob's name had to be changed in order for him to apprehend his destiny. Israel means God, let God prevail. And that's our cry today. Let God prevail. Let God prevail. We are going to hold on, church. We are going to hold on and let God prevail. Because God has given us the authority. He's given us weapons of warfare. Are we using them? We use those weapons of warfare in our households. We use those weapons of warfare over our cities. We use those weapons of warfare over our nation. When we join intercessors to pray. So 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. You have a new position in Jesus Christ. You're new. Tell your neighbor you're new. The thing that confuses people, though, is that you don't look new. All things don't look new. If you were in financial debt when you got saved, you're still in financial debt. If you were overweight, you're still overweight. If you're a man, you're still a man. If you're a woman, you're still a woman. So people get confused by the scripture. Well, how can all things become new? All things become new in our spirit. Remember, we're spirit, soul, and body. And so in our spirit, all things become new. In John 6:63, it says, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So there is the only way we can know what we really look like as a spirit is if we go to the Word of God. Think about that. The Word is a mirror for us. All things become new. We have a new perspective because as we read the Word, go to the next slide, please. As we read the Word and we study the Word, then we know that it begins to change us. It's our looking glass. Let's read James 1, 23 to 25. Go to the Word to see your spirit is what I titled it. Okay. Hear and not a doer. Be a hearer and not a... What is that? Hear and not a doer. Like a man beholding his face in a glass. I started in the middle of somewhere. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. So we go to the Word to see what we really look like. Because the Word is spirit and life. We're to know one another after the spirit, not after the flesh. Somebody say amen. I'm not sure what that was. So you can go to the mirror and you can check your face, your hair in the mirror, and you can feel pretty good about yourself, about the way you look. or how you think about yourself physically, or maybe you're really disappointed in yourself. But when we go to that mirror, we have to have faith that what that mirror is showing us is really us. Because our own eyes have never really looked in our own face. Because that's impossible, right? Your own eyes cannot look in your own face unless you are looking into a mirror. And so the Word of God is the only thing that is going to show us what we're really like. We are so dependent upon our five senses. You know, that's the body part of us. That's the flesh part of us. If I ask you right now, are you too warm or are you too cold? Or you wouldn't have to say, oh, Pastor Janet, I have to go pray about it. I'm not sure. Would you? We're so dependent on our five senses, our taste, what we see, what we hear, what we touch, what we smell. The important part of knowing who you are and your identity is when you go to the Word of God. There's a total transformation that takes place. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. You see, the way we used to see things, our perspective of things, it changes. It changes. Your attitude should change. If it doesn't change, then you need to work on it, right? I remember Pastor Leonard and I, we were in charge of baptisms in the church that we grew up with, and I was shocked that some people would come up out of the water being baptized in Jesus' name and they'd swear. Shocked. You know, my religious self. I just couldn't believe it. But the truth is, that's the solical part of man. If you swore before you got saved, you might have to work at not swearing again. Because it just flies out of their mouth. All right. But when we're born again by the Spirit of God, your spirit is perfect. Your spirit is mature. And you are already complete in Jesus Christ. That is the concept we need to understand. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. And your spirit, when it is born again by the Spirit of God, is perfect, mature, and complete in Jesus Christ. You are a new creature. That old sin nature is gone. We have to believe that by faith, right? We look into the Word, we hear the promises of God, and we believe it by faith, just like we look into the mirror and we see what we look like. And by faith, we believe that's our reflection. Takes the same thing. Your identity and your makeup is identical to Jesus. So our soul has to come into agreement. Our mind, our will, our emotions, and our conscience has to come into agreement with the Word of God about who He says we are. And I'm going to have the ushers hand out, if you do not have the I Am's, yeah, if you do not have one of these, this is a paper we hand out to people. The first page is encourage yourself in the Lord. Whatever the Word of God says I am, I am. I'll just keep one and you can hand them out. If you don't have one, raise your hand and the ushers will give them to you. And on the inside, it says whatever the Word of God says I have, I have. And whatever the Word of God says I can do, I can do. And on the back page, it says, my heart is established. And as a result, I'm going to read through these while they're handing them out. My seed is mighty upon the earth. The upright generation is blessed. Wealth and riches are in my house. My right standing with God endures forever. I receive the light in darkness. I am gracious and full of compassion. I am in right standing with God. I show favor and I lend. I guide all my affairs and discretion. All right, I'm getting a call from my girlfriend. I guide all my affairs with discretion. I shall not be moved. I always remember my covenant. I'm not afraid of evil tidings. My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. My heart is established. I'm not afraid. I see my desire upon my enemy. I am a generous sower, and I give to the poor. God exalts and promotes me with honor. The enemy is grieved by what he sees. He gets mad and slithers away. The desire of the devil comes to nothing. And the last one is, my house cannot be shaken. This is the truths that we, as the people of God, who have been born again by the Spirit of God and have Christ in us, and we are in Christ. These are the proclamations that if you will make these every day, make them every day. It's a good thing when you get up in the morning to commit your time to the Lord, and when you go to bed at night, the first thing in the morning, give it to God. The last thing at night, give it to God. And declare His word. His word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It will divide between the soul and the spirit. And Jesus Christ will keep you on the right track. And regardless of the pressure that is coming against us, we know that God is greater. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And I often think, when I look out and I see what's coming against us, I have to remind myself, God has never lost a battle. God has always gotten the victory. And so I'm thankful I'm in the Lord's army. I'm thankful that He goes before us and He prepares the way. And the angelic hosts, they go with us. I ask God, send them with us. Send them around us. We need God's protection. We need to be wise of the schemes of the devil in this season, because anything that is righteous, he wants to take out. And he is on full force attack against us to steal our destiny and our identity that we have in Jesus Christ. Let's all stand this morning. And Becky's going to go to the piano, and the praise team's going to sing our closing song. But let's just pray in the Spirit. If you pray in the Spirit, let's just pray. And Lord, we just thank you for this word that has come forth. You know, you lay your hand on your tummy and your innermost being. We thank you, Lord God, for the word that has gone forth today. Lord, we thank you, Father, that it is planted in our spirit today, Lord God. It's planted in our soul. Father, I thank you for the seeds that you have planted today. And Lord, I thank you for those who are here today, Lord, and who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness and after your presence, Lord God. Meet with them in a mighty way. And we thank you, Father, for your goodness to each one of us. Thank you, Father.